Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's nothing I haven't accused you of in the past, so turnabout's
see
fair
that,
play.
You know what? I tell you what, you're right about that. And I've, you know, you always find a way to really get me mad. You always find a way. Like, you accuse me of being a fuddy-duddy, then you accuse me of saying things that aren't real, and I get mad about both of them. And I'm mad at you. Well, I'm not mad at you today, but I think you're taking some umbrage here that you shouldn't. First off, you're comparing the Cavs to the Browns and Guardians, and I don't think you should. I think that what that does is that divides the fan base, where I think that type of thing lives on Twitter. I don't think that thing lives in real life. I think the majority of the guys we're talking to, and ladies, but the majority of the people we're talking to, I think they're Guardians fans. I think they consider themselves Guardians fans. I think they consider themselves Cavs and Browns fans. And so it's not as cut up as we make it out to be on the internet, because it's the internet and it's a cesspool. I don't want you to make that change. Like, Tone, nobody's going to sit on their hands on Saturday. 1 o'clock game time, Orlando Magic. We got Coach David Thorpe joining us at 9:20. He's going to break this matchup down. But it's not like guys are going to be sitting on their hands on Saturday. People are going to be excited. And by the way, you can react to that in the post game with Jonathan Peterlin after the game on Saturday, which starts at 1 over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. But I'm not encouraging people to not go. I would never do that. I'm encouraging people to go. I'm encouraging people to buy tickets. I encourage them to buy tickets to all four of our professional sports teams. That includes the Monsters. And I know we got like umpteen soccer teams, all of them, the Rovers, the rugby team. I want you to go to all of them. I like a healthy sports town. But you're saying, well, it's not the sports town that you guys make it out to be. You guys just like the Browns. I think you totally miss it there. It is a good sports town. And they're good enough fans to know they're not going to lie to themselves. Hey, they're not going to fake it just to get everybody excited. Okay, they were excited last year for the postseason. We talked a lot of trash last year. We let New York fans have it, and we lost in 5 games. And then we get ready for this one. People want to feel better about it. I think that people are, they're unnerving right now. I think they're a little bit nervous about this. And so when you get that, yeah, man, there's going to be a pensive quietness leading up to this game. As much as you want to turn it into a pep rally and a rah-rah, and nobody does loud, fun noises better than us in this city, it's a different feeling, bud.
And I hope
it's different by Friday. Maybe it's different by Friday.
I can't blame fans for whether or not the expectations are not what they were hoping, that this team doesn't resemble the team that went 18-2 at one point. I get it. They have earned that skepticism by the way they've played since the All-Star break. But is there any way I can talk you into getting excited about a team that, to me, I even know Dean Wade, we still haven't heard anything about, they're about as healthy as they've been all year. Donovan Mitchell looked like himself in that Pacers game. Darius Garland hit some big shots down the stretch. Evan Mobley seems to me, after the All-Star break and after the injury, to have improved. Like,
That's a silver lining.
Can I interest you in the potential for this team to get their first post-LeBron playoff series win?
I'm not being poop about everything that they're doing. I'm not trying to do that. I'm really not. But I think a lot of people remember last year, and they talked a lot of trash, man. A lot of it. And we tried to. I think there was a hangover until that Mavericks game, and then people got reintroduced to the Cavaliers this year, and it's kind of been dicey up and down ever since. Like, they beat that Mavericks team on that heave-ho by Max Strus. And then they go out and lose to Chicago the next night.
And we had a bunch of those.
And by the way, Peterlin was in for him, right? And we called it the Peterlin Pass.
The Peterlin Pass.
That was the birth of the Peterlin Pass.
That's right.
So we were like, hey, man, it's no big deal. We're giving passes. To the point of now, you can't give a pass for Sunday. Well, if you win on Saturday and you win game two, then you can give a pass for Sunday now, can't you?
I was just in the back as I was struggling with this. You've gotten to me emotionally because I went back.
I'm glad I did.
I hate to admit this. I went to our boss and I said, do I sound phony on this? And he goes, no. He goes,
I think you're legitimately frustrated. That's what weirds me out about it, because you were doing a complete 180 of what you've done in the past.
Well, Andy was back there going, oh, no, we'll be fine. We're going to win this series in five games. People will be back on board. And I'm like, yeah, but can't we get back on board today knowing what's at stake? And what's at stake to me? Everything we know about this team, certainly. But just the history of the playoffs. And I know it's never easier to make the playoffs in every sport. We understand why. Financial reasons. And every sport continues to expand their playoffs. But I just went through in the back and talked about recent memories, or at least in the last decade, like memories that the Indians had on their run to the World Series. Me and my buddies downtown watching road games for the Indians at the time, in games against the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. And we were so pumped, and obviously the World Series. The LeBron era, two separate eras, where no matter where you were, I mean, this entire city was locked in to every single game, home and away. They flooded downtown, and they flooded to their suburban bars to watch all that stuff. And you pointed out first thing today, like, oh, yeah, real excited, $30 to get into a Cavs playoff game. And I'm like,
36
man,
with fees.
I mean, you're not wrong in any of that. The fans in this town are not really excited about a big playoff run because they don't believe it. I get that. But I watch all these games. I don't want to watch all these games every year, all these regular season games, tell everybody, well, you know, what really matters is the playoffs. Then we get to the playoffs, and everyone's like, yeah, but they can't go far, so it doesn't matter.
It's
like, that just seems like such a colossal waste of a year of my life.
216-474-0092. Are you excited about the Cavs postseason? Am I poo-pooing it? I'm not, and I think a lot of people aren't, but they're just not going to get quote-unquote fooled again. And also, I don't remember the last time a team in Cleveland, and it's different in the other sports, okay? I get that, man, but I don't remember the last time a team just came out and blatantly told you what they think their ceiling is. It just sticks with me. We're 3 days after the point, man. And I'm not trying to belabor it, but I can't help it. If we're talking about this type of thing, the fans were told, without being told, but they were told, that they think that they are a one-and-done team this year, and that is a step forward. And before, like, man, when it's not comparable, but when you had LeBron the first time, it's all right, we got to break through. They never told you. I mean, if you and I sat down and rationalized, it's like, okay, you got to make the playoffs first. Then you got to try to win your first series. Okay, Washington's been there before. Let's see if they can beat the Wizards. And then it's, okay, let's see what happens against Detroit. Let's see if we learn anything against Detroit. Then the next year's the next step, and the next year is expected to be the next step. And it's supposed to be the same way. But, man, when you do something like that on Sunday, it just tells everybody what you think your own ceiling is.
It was not a good message.
Man, we're supposed to be a professional sports franchise, and we're supposed to dare to dream here.
If I was running their PR, I wouldn't have loved that message. I'd probably get fired over that message. It was not a good one to the fans.
But I have to try to see him halfway and go, it might have been the right message. Because I might line up here and tell you, if they beat Orlando, hey, we don't got a great shot against Boston. But I'm going to say it and go, let's let it ride. To hell with it. Let's go. But they're telling you. And I'm thinking, guys, just let Kenny Carman and Anthony Lyme on the radio tell them that. You don't need to tell them on a Sunday.
Do you think Donovan Mitchell feels that way? Do you think Darius? Do you think Evan Mobley?
Well, considering how mad Max Strus was after that game, yeah, I think that they probably feel like you've almost put a cap on our own basketball team by that. You're telling us all what you think. I mean, Max Strus, and I had some people fire back with me and say, well, Miami doesn't care about the regular season. Clearly, they care about the postseason, and they clearly care about taking it as far as they can. And I think they try a lot of things during the regular season.
Yeah, we're not there. We can't compare ourselves
we're not
to Miami
there.
Right now.
But a guy who comes from that culture is visibly upset of what happened. I got to move on at some point. I know it, man. And I hate to keep breaking that broken record here. I know we're going to get more emails from people, but it's a totally different vibe. People want to believe their teams are going to take it as far as they can.
I just know what Donovan Mitchell just told Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com, talking about being judged solely on getting to the finals, the conference finals, the NBA finals. And I know how he feels, because I know that regardless of whether his future is going to play out in Cleveland or it's going to play out anywhere else, he knows it's
so
on him.
So he can't be thrilled.
But I think you might see a different team.
I hope so.
Post All-Star break.
I hope so.
You might see a very different team come Saturday.
Because I'll tell you what, hearing you say what Donovan Mitchell had said and was written about in Cleveland.com, that was the Fedor, right? Okay, from what he said, it sounds to me like your team's goals and Donovan's goals and probably some players are two different things. He's talking about making the finals. At least the Eastern Conference Finals. And again, let the media be the ones to tell you you don't have a chance against Team X. Don't make your fans feel that way. And so it's a bad PR move, just like you mentioned, Tone. Can't do that. You cannot allow something like that to go down.
If they would have just played everybody in that game, and understandably what they were also trying to do is make sure to limit the injuries, and what did we do? The only guard they played in that game got injured. Had they have just played their guys in that game a respectable amount, would that have mattered to you? We would feel all that much better about this team?
No, I don't know. I just don't want to. Honestly, it's going to make me feel a lot better, and I'm going to come in here with a much sunnier disposition if they go out there and they pound Orlando, and then I don't have to talk about the stupid game on Sunday ever again. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love – you want me to put my cards out here on the table? I would love – when's game two, by the way? Would that be Monday, I'm guessing? Somebody sent us a schedule. I'm not sure when game two is. So you're going to play on Saturday. That means we're definitely going to come in here Monday after a win or a loss. I'd love nothing better than to go out there and beat Orlando by 20 and have a bunch of people call
Monday
me up
at
going,
seven.
And have a bunch of people call me up and say, Ken, you were bitching and moaning all day, every day for the first 3 days of the week about that game on Sunday, and you were saying the sky is falling and then nothing happened. Please give me that. I'm begging you to give me that. You want to record my audio and things that I say?
Uh-oh.
Record that. I'm begging them to go out there and clean Orlando's clock, and then we get nasty calls from Vaughn, who tried to sneak in, and JJ and everybody who says, Kenny, you were overreacting, you were too worried, you were too emotional, you let it get to you, and you were wrong. Please, I'm begging you to do so. I need something to have this year and something to look forward to next year, and damn it, I need something I can sell to Donovan Mitchell for the future to stay here so we can stop talking about this New York crap. That's what I want. I want to be wrong.
I am not of the ilk, and I've seen some Cavs fans say, well, it's all about steps, and you have to crawl before you walk, before you can run.
Let me say that instead of you. I'll say it. I'll make excuses for you.
Minnesota is trying to run this year. Oklahoma City is trying to run. They're trying to sprint immediately, and they have expectations. Like, I'm okay with having big expectations. They do need to win a playoff series. And I think one thing me and you, we've disagreed all morning. One thing we both agree with is they better win this playoff series.
Yeah.
I think they will. I feel good about this playoff. I feel better.
They're favored in it. God, I'd hope so.
I think they have so much more of a scoring advantage than the Magic. I don't think it's going to be easy to score in these games, but I find it hard to believe that this Magic team, how they're built, that they're going to find enough offense to be able to steal two or three or then win the whole series. But you know, we're going to get a breakdown coming up from David Thorpe. I'm excited. It's the playoffs in Cleveland. We should never take this for granted.
David Thorpe going to be joining us next. Tone, can you tell everybody what David Thorpe is going to let us in on coming up next?
He's going to let us know if Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, how they're going to deal with the physicality. The most physical team in the NBA playoffs. It is the Magic. Will they have a breakthrough? And can JB get the rotations down to where they can win this series and get a post-LeBron playoff series win? David Thorpe next here on 92.3 The Fan. To hear that music, to know that the Cavs are in the playoffs, hopefully a breakthrough series, I think we'll get Kenny back on my side. across the desk from me right now.
On your side.
Well,
it'd be hard to host
hyped up.
The show on the same side of the room.
That's true. That'd be weird. Boy, that would be weird.
Mics would spill into each other. It'd be total devastation.
Chaos. Wouldn't make any sense. But I'll tell you who will make sense right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Coach David Thorpe. I said this on Twitter earlier today. You'll get no better primer for this series against Orlando anywhere than David Thorpe, partner and lead analyst at True Hoop, executive director of Pro Training Center. He's worked with a lot of today's NBA players and has a thorough understanding of how the matchups will break down. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you on. We had you on last year. You warned us about the Knicks, and then we know what happened with the Knicks. So I don't think you have to warn us about the Magic. We know how physical they are. We know how long they can be. We know about their scoring issues. Your first thought when you saw this matchup materialize, 4 versus 5 in the Eastern Conference?
My first thought was that it's more of a rock fight than anything. People have written exactly the same. Except that only one team is throwing big rocks right now, and that's the Magic, because Cleveland's defense has been so scattered and pretty much bad since March 1st. They just have not been the defensive team they were. Neither team's offense has been good since March 1st. And so, luckily, Cleveland has home court advantage. And as you mentioned, Orlando's scoring woes are considerable. And the hope is that Darius and Donovan both are, you know, can really get rolling. And that gives Cleveland, if they can, a big advantage, obviously. Darius, the best opponent in the East for Darius all year has been Orlando, amazingly enough, because they are a tremendous defensive team. In fact, Orlando is number one in defense since March 1st. And I don't ever look at season-long stuff. I don't know why people do. No, who remembers October, November, December? But since March 1st, which is 20-plus games for every team, the Magic defensively have been the league's best. Nevertheless, in 3 games, Darius has scored almost 27 points a game. So that bodes very well for Cleveland and what I think is going to be a very hard fought 7-game series.
Coach David Thorpe joining us on the show. Going back, you know, I'm a fan in a lot of ways, glorified here. So do you know about the Cavs situation? I know you follow the league very closely, but there's a lot of things going on Sunday. Did you follow the Cavs situation against Charlotte on Sunday?
I did not live. I had 5 games on, and that was not one of them. But I've read about it since. Yes.
Okay. So a lot of fans, I mean, they were booing them like crazy in the building. It's left a bad taste in my mouth to start off the week, Coach. Is that just smart basketball, and is that something I just need to get over, or is that something that is going to not stick well with some of the veteran players that they have?
Are you asking me if it's smart to lose on purpose and make it so obvious that you're doing it?
Well, I guess so.
When you put it like that.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I'm an old school coach. Last night the Lakers, LeBron James took 2 charges late in the game, one against Zion, to have the privilege of playing against Denver. And of course, there was a winner have to play one more game and then be out situation. But the Knicks fought like crazy with the Bulls to potentially play the Sixers. I'd rather have that. I think on a team, especially like Cleveland, that struggled so much late in the year to play good basketball. They've got their net rating is -3.8, which ranks 26th, second in the league since March 1st. To me, any win's important, especially losing to that team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I know the circumstances were strange, but I'm not a fan of it. But there's always going to be a team or two that tries it. I prefer teams that just say, let's line up and try to win like the Knicks did the other night. I think that's personally a better thing to do.
All right, you mentioned at the start of this the slippage with the Cavs defense, and we know this whole thing was built on rim protection. You'd have Okoro being able to be pesky on the perimeter. What happened to the once-proud Cavs defense?
You know, I don't know for certain. I know their defense in transition, especially after turnovers, has been bottom seven in the league the last few months, and that never helps when teams are scoring before you can set up to play 5-on-5 from a position of strength. That's an offensive issue. But normally, when you have that kind of decay defensively, it goes to bigger issues. And very often, it's either a dissension among the team with themselves, one or two players, or it's a feeling that the coach we have just isn't the answer. I have no idea. I have some speculation that I don't know that Coach Bickerstaff is being received the way he maybe once was, but I don't know that for sure. I'm not on the team, and I don't cover it day to day. But, yeah, it's normally a bad sign that a team that was so good last year, not just overall but certainly defensively, and for much of this season to kind of fritter away like they have is suggestive of more deep-seated issues.
Well, also, is it more explainable as well where Coach David Thorpe joining us on the show, like they brought in veterans – George Niang, Philly, Max Strus, Miami. I mean, Miami, we always talk about Heat culture. Is there maybe a clash of what the Cavs have done where they've kind of been, hey, this is a slow build to where those guys are in their careers? They're like, no, we got to get going here. We got to take this seriously. We got to get moving.
I don't think it's that only because, rookies aren't playing. Mm-hmm. Evans in his third year, he's going to be 23 years old in a few months. That's young. Trust me, that's young, but it's not. He's not just starting out. Obviously, veterans everywhere else. Niang and Donovan Mitchell were on the best team in the league together when they were in Utah. And I don't care what happened in the playoffs; they were by far the best team in the league during the regular season. And actually, Niang was a very good defender in his last year and a half or so in Utah. Not as much in Philly, and definitely hasn't done as well this year for Cleveland, but. Yeah, no, I think this team was built to win. I was really high on them going into the season, and I've been very disappointed. I don't think there's any question if you look at narrative, if they can turn it around, I don't care what Orlando's scoring problems are. If Cleveland wins this series, even if the game seven goes 12 overtime, just getting out of the first round, that's progress. You have to start somewhere, and so this would be a great way to rally the troops, so to speak. Certainly in game one, and get a lead and get some swagger back, because I think it's certainly needed right now.
Obviously, a ton of questions over the last 2 years about Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, whether the backcourt makes sense with their size, with those limitations, and Donovan injuries this year, Darius season from hell. But with all that said, it's just one game. They looked pretty good together against the Pacers last Saturday night. How did they deal with the length of guys like Jonathan Isaac and the peskiness of Jalen Suggs?
Yeah, I watched the Indiana game. I thought Indiana's big men were soft, and that isn't always the case, but especially with Turner, sometimes it's the case. It's less the case with Siakam, although I thought he was soft until the fourth quarter of that game. I thought Jared Allen and Mobley really had a disposition to dominate the paint. That opened things up for their other guys. The Magic are a more physical team. Obviously, they play differently. You know, the Indiana flies up and down. Orlando plays at the 24th fastest pace the last few months, which is about the same as Cleveland, which is 25th in pace. So that part is a good matchup. To me, the one of the key factors that I don't really believe much in X factors. Everyone's an X factor, potentially. Donovan Mitchell himself, even as the best player on the team, has been X factors in many games because he's just gone crazy in scoring. Mostly was for Utah. In fact, it's always pretty much been for Utah. But Jonathan Isaac presents a real challenge to Cleveland. I wrote an article, maybe not an article. I might have just written a line or two calling him the best defensive player in the world. That's what he's been. He doesn't deserve any awards. He hasn't played enough games nor enough minutes. But Jonathan Isaac is an absolute defensive disruptor. And that's something Orlando has used, obviously, to their advantage. They're such a good defensive team. I think he'll get more minutes. And he's also a very good corner shooter. So you have to account for him offensively. And that opens up for Paolo, who's not really a very good finisher anywhere. But if 4-on-4 is more advantage to Paolo than 5-on-5, especially when Wendell Carter Jr. is in, who's not a good three-point shooter in the corner, nor is he the defensive player Isaac is. So I think if the Magic could play Isaac more minutes, it's a much tougher situation for Cleveland because he's such a – not just a rim protector, but a lockdown guy and a chaos creator. And they do – the Magic do force turnovers and steals and thrive off that. Cleveland can be prone to turnovers. They don't get back in defense great, partly because they have the two big guys around the rim more. So, you know, there's only two or three guys getting back a lot of times early enough. That, to me, is a big issue. If Jonathan Isaac's having success early in game one, it immediately, to me, changes the outlook of the series. Whereas if he doesn't, then they kind of can find a way to score around him and over him, and he's not hitting shots and hurting them, you know, hurting the Cleveland on offense. Then I think Cleveland, again, having the home court advantage, has a bit of an upper hand.
You know, sometimes it just takes a breakthrough. And I keep using the term thinking about Evan Mobley and whether or not this can be the breakthrough. When he was drafted in 2021, it seemed like an absolute steal that the Cavs were able to get him number three. And now this year, it's been about all the other guys and not Evan Mobley. Jalen Suggs could be first-team All-NBA defense. Obviously, we know about Sengun and what kind of a season he had before he got injured. Jalen Green went on an absolute tear. But could this be Evan Mobley's coming out party?
You know, so I'm probably, as someone who's supposedly, you know, a leading expert in player development, I normally come on these shows and remind everyone about how hard it is to be great, to continue to get better. Mobley's gotten better three consecutive years if you look at his advanced metrics. Again, he's just turning 23 sometime, I think, this summer. I loved him. He was my number one. He was number one for me in a coin flip over Scotty Barnes at number two in that draft. I remember very well. Barnes seems to have taken a bigger jump. He's also got the ball in his hands more. You just have to be patient. I'm a really big believer that we tend to rush this. The answer, of course, is yeah, he could. Watching Mobley, he does show signs of being more of an offensive threat, whether it's catch and shoot, off the dribble, spinning off his dribble, putbacks, that kind of thing. It's hard. It's a tough game to master, and he's in the hardest position because he's a big man that has some guard skills, but it's hard to refine those things. It just takes time. I will tell you this. If he was an All-NBA player at 25, 26, I wouldn't be surprised one bit. And prior to that, he just won't be. And people may be disappointed, but you got yourselves an incredible player there. I suggest just continue that patience, expect to see continued progress. He'll move into, I think, all-star status by maybe 25, 26. It's most likely. He might even be an all-star next year. But I think by 25, 26, he will be as a two-way player. I'm a huge, huge fan. And the worst thing you can do is start thinking he isn't quite there yet, therefore he's a bust. No, he's every single team in the NBA would love to have Evan Mobley on their team in their starting lineup.
So is it maybe, and you could classify it as a problem or not, but just with his trajectory, how you just laid it out and having to be patient, did it just maybe not make sense having Donovan Mitchell at the exact same time because they're different portions of their career?
So, I have a unique, I don't know if it's unique. It's unique to me anyway. I always see things this way. If you can give your fans 50 plus wins a season, you're doing a hell of a service. It, you know, don't spend too much money to do it, and I know Cleveland's not quite there, but not far from it. If you can get to 50 wins a year, you're winning, you know, well more than half your games. You're giving your fans a chance to believe, oh, we might be able to do something in the playoffs. It's an exciting thing to do. And, you know, who doesn't want to go to a game when you think your team's got a good chance to win? Who doesn't want to watch games on TV when you think my team's got a good chance to win? And I think they did that. I feel like, you know, when Minnesota got Rudy Gobert, a lot of people trashed it. I wrote an article saying, yeah, it was very, very expensive. But they've got a hand in at least four chances to contend for a title. It's a bet on Anthony Edwards. Well, getting Donovan Mitchell was a bet on Evan Mobley. I don't know that they'll keep him. And so that's where the problem is. If they end up losing him for nothing, then it's a huge mistake. But getting a player like that, giving your team a chance to win 50-plus games, I think players get better when the games matter. And so Evan hasn't played, I don't think, a game that didn't matter, except for maybe a little bit 2 years ago. He hasn't played in one in a long time. Every game has mattered, every game. Except for the very last game this year, obviously, when they tried not to win. And I don't think he even played. So I think it's been good. You just have to continue to make the right adjustment and pivot. And if you recognize we're not going to be able to keep Donovan long-term, don't lose him for nothing. You got to get something of value, something significant of value. And then I think it was a good move.
Hopefully we get another round and the Cavs win this so we can have you on again. I have 100 questions for you. Coach David Thorpe, as coach, you developed over 100 basketball players, author of Basketball is Jazz, Stories and Lessons from a Basketball Lifer. Did you tell us who's going to win the series?
I haven't yet made my prediction. I will tell you, I am leaning towards your team. I'll probably watch a little more tape later and write it up for True Hoop tomorrow. But I'm leaning towards the home team in 7 games.
All right. David Thorpe joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's do it again. Thanks, Coach.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
What's the side?
So everybody is...
I'm just telling you what the side of the actual
going
Cavs
into
fans
Saturday.
Are.
I'll be happy if you guys
They're
even
real
watch
fans.
It. Yes.
Shut up. They're real fans out there, okay?
After David Thorpe just came
Stop
on with us.
Stop insulting the fans' intelligence.
Told you Evan Mobley is going to be an all-NBA
You also
all
want to hear what
player.
He said about Sunday afternoon, too? You also want to hear what he said about that? You can listen to it, 92.3thefan.com, when it gets posted, whenever Mitch gets around to it. By the way, make sure you're prepared for what the Browns and the rest of the league do during the playoffs and the NFL draft. Wait a minute. During the NFL draft and the roller coaster ride that is the NBA playoffs. There you go. Follow 92.3 The Fan in the free Odyssey app. Get all that breaking news, everything. Have it pushed right to your smartphone. Also remember, 1 p.m., Cavs, Orlando Magic, Game 1. It tips off. You can see it on ESPN, and you get to hear the post-game show with Jonathan Peterlin. It's going to be outstanding. Outstanding. All right, Mitch.
Yes.
Mitch, please, here we go.
So I have one clip from last night's Lakers-Pelicans postgame, a team that seemingly wasn't trying to avoid a potential hard matchup. That was head coach Darvin Ham of the Lakers. The Lakers won last night, so they get to face off with the defending champion Denver Nuggets. And a reporter asked Ham if, you know, there was any consideration of the team maybe trying to lose the game so that they can go on to the 8th seed game, win that, and play the Thunder. Here's what Coach Ham had to say with the question involved.
This notion out there, perhaps, that it would be better for you guys to drop this game to avoid them. How excited is this group for this challenge against Denver?
That was a report of what?
It wasn't a report. It was TV talking stuff. Was that maybe?
Saying what again?
It'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid Denver in the first round, to play.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah.
If you can secure. It wasn't sourced.
Okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane opinions. Asylum.
There was a
okay.
Instance.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah. Roll the dice.
They
roll
just
the.
Just release these people.
Yeah.
Tone, go ahead.
I think it's a little different situation.
Okay.
Lakers, LeBron. I mean, you can get away with not having to worry about your opponent when you got LeBron on your side. Also, get to the free throw line 40 times or whatever they got to yesterday. Okay. I think the Cavs needed to be a little choosy with their first round opponent. I would not have wanted to play Miami. I would certainly not have wanted to play Joel Embiid.
I'm officially done talking about Sunday. I'm done. I'm not going to have you besmirch me and have everybody you trying to get people to think I'm being negative about them.
Well, it's not working. People agree with you. People are not excited about the Cavs game.
I thought you meant like people agree with you. I'm like one guy agrees with you.
No.
And a couple of callers. That's about it. Everything else, same. What are you going to do? It's the same thing.
I'm blown away that a first-round series win is now somehow old hat after LeBron. I'm amazed that somehow happened.
Did you just hear what you just said? It's after LeBron. I mean, it's only natural that it hasn't been – it's only been 6 years. It hasn't been that long. Now, I understand if this was our first foray into the postseason and people weren't excited, then I would be with you. But it's the second. Technically, it's the third. It's the second trip to the playoffs since. Like, yeah, it's time to get some accomplishments going here. It's time to actually put up something out there. That's what it's time to do. And all you got to do is win against Orlando, and then I guess we'll just call it a season. But I'm sorry, you can't do that. And then you got me talking about it again. I don't want to talk about it again.
So now Ken's not even going to be excited. We're done. Heading in, it was one thing to not be excited going into the Magic series. If they win and now they're playing the Celtics, what, we've got Ken doubling down on how non-enthusiastic he is.
I don't know. I mean, you'll figure out a way to twist my words no matter what. That's what you'll do. But I'm excited for professional sports in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What?
Yeah, put some bunting out there and just call it opening day then. That'll get excited.
I was excited for. I'm excited for the 12-5 Cleveland Guardians. They're good. They're the best team in baseball record-wise right now. In all of Major League Baseball. That includes the National League. Think about that. You didn't say nothing good about them today. What'd you say good about the Guardians?
About the Guardians?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm kidding you.
I had a blast.
I'm kidding you.
Beating the Yankees, beating the Red Sox, best record in baseball, second best run differential in baseball. Let's go.
Four-game series, by the way. They play tonight, and then they play tomorrow at 1:35. I think there was someone said differently earlier today. Not anybody in the room, but somebody might have said differently. Okay. We're done with Sunday. Done mentioning Sunday. That's it. It's over with. It's done. If they lose against Orlando on Saturday, it will certainly get brought up again on Monday, I'm positive. But I want them to go out there, beat the brakes off Atlanta, beat the brakes off Orlando, get the 1-0, and then hopefully, if they beat them that badly, I'm hoping people are going to say, well, Ken. Because they, you know, I think everybody's just decided that it's fun when I get mad and you guys like to troll me, and that's okay. Fine. Yeah, you nod your head. And by the way, you're sitting there going, Ken, are you really the voice of the people? I don't know, am I? Because here we are, and there's a lot of people who seemingly, I don't want to say agree with me, but I think that I'm singing the tones that they can't say to us right now, Tone.
You think of Ben Lively tonight?
I was trying to find something with the name and I couldn't.
I hope he becomes Ben Deadly on the mound.
There you go.
Thanks.
Very well done. Mitch, good audio. Well done. Who do we got tomorrow on the show?
We will have Mary Kay Cabot around 8:20, and also we will be hearing from a top 10 WNBA pick here.
Ooh.
Are we getting Caitlin Clark?
Oh.
We're getting a top 10.
Are we getting Angel Reese?
Tune in tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to find out. It's going to be a fun time for Big Country, for David Thorpe, Coach David Thorpe, for Mitch Apalooza, for Meredith.
For Mr. Hero.
For the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima. For the Marble Mouth of Crawford County. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. And yes, go Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go Cavs.
Now we get it.
Go Cavs. Go Cleveland Cavaliers. I hope they win the rest of the games that they play this year. Go Cavs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.